I would like you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, as we come to the third in our series of Christmas messages. We have been looking at the preparations for Christmas. And first of all, we looked at Caesar Augustus, how God used a politician to bring about the venue for Christ's birth. Later on, we looked at Mary, how God in his sovereignty used this maiden from Nazareth, a place that was known for its illicit reputation. Yet in that place, God found Mary to be a clean, pure vessel through which his son was to come. And just as we have been guilty of not talking about Mary in the Protestant church, we have equally been guilty of not talking about Joseph. I am quite sure that if I would come around and ask you, when was the last time you heard a message on Joseph? I'm not too sure that many of you will be able to say, I did. We hear about him at the time of Christmas, and after that we forget him. And that is why the theme, the forgotten father of Christmas. For you see, he also played a part. And this morning, we want to look at three thoughts from this text, Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Please allow me to read these verses. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. Note the phrase, with child, not a child, but with child. It was unique by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Consider with me, first of all, from verses 18 and 19, what I call the dilemma of Joseph. You know what a dilemma is? A dilemma is when a mother tells a child, don't put your hand in the cookie jar. I am going out for a few minutes, and I'm going to return, but he doesn't know when, and he miscalculates the time of mother's absence, puts his hand into the cookie jar, and then he hears the door opening. I heard that story before, and it's not my experience. And someone asked the child, did you love your mother at the time? And the child said, yes, I loved my mother, but not her appearing. That's a dilemma. When you are caught doing something you were told not to do, but you want that thing so badly. My friends, this was Joseph's experience. He was in a dilemma for two main reasons. First of all, his dilemma was because of Mary's condition. Please understand that in the Jewish setting, as I said last week, there were two movements to the marriage ceremony. The first was like, not necessarily completely, but like what we call our engagement period. The second was the actual coming together. So when the scripture talks about Mary being espoused to Joseph or promised to her, she was already given, she was already his, but he was not allowed to come into sexual contact with her until the second phase of the relationship. during this time, Mary was found to be with child. In other words, she was pregnant. She was pregnant in our terms out of wedlock, if you please. That was the way in which it was looked upon in those days. And Joseph found himself with the woman to whom he was engaged to be married. To consummate that marriage was the next step. And she was pregnant. Imagine how he felt. Imagine the pains that he felt. Imagine how he felt deceived, betrayed by Mary. Imagine how his mind went through all kinds of mental gymnastics as he tried to deal with the fact that this woman he loved had actually deceived him. She was found to be pregnant, and Joseph was not the responsible party. How would you have felt? You would have felt, my friends, the same way you feel when you are betrayed by friends. When you are betrayed by those that you have trusted. Perhaps by a boss who did not keep his word. Perhaps some of you have been betrayed in your relationships with your family. And you know what feelings actually well up in your hearts as you think of what you have gone through or what you're going through. Think of Joseph. This woman he loved, deceived, betrayed. He felt the pains. Think of what he was going through. Think of how he probably used that little word you and I like to use, if. If. Two letters, but it makes all the difference in the world. If. If I had only done this. If I had not gone there. Ministers go through this sometimes. Because ministers are supposed to be busy. They're supposed to be going day and night. And the first part of a minister's failure is almost always his family. And the very people that commends the minister for being busy, being occupied, are the very same people that will criticize him when his family fails. And he goes through all kinds of emotional feelings. If I had only stayed home. If I had only, if. And think, my friends, what Joseph was going through. This man who didn't know what Mary had been doing behind his back. You see, God was doing something in Mary's life. And although Mary had told Elizabeth, she had not yet confided in Joseph. I do not know why. Could it be that Joseph would not have believed her? Could it be that Joseph may have thought, come on, who ever heard of anyone being pregnant without knowing a man? All those things must have gone through his mind. So because of her condition, he was in a dilemma. But also, my friends, and this is the center of the story, because of his character. Because of his character. Now Joseph, says our text, Joseph was a just man. Now when you think of a just man, what do you think about? You think of someone who is stern. You think of a Puritan. You think of someone who has no feeling. He sticks to the law. I said it, and that's it. I have spoken. Joseph was a just man. And that word just, my friends, means this. Joseph was a straight man. He honored Mary with his character. He would not violate her trust, her confidence in him. And even though he is faced with a dilemma because of his condition, he will not give up his character to react negatively against Mary. As I studied this text, my friends, I came across a very wonderful, wonderful thought. It is this. Emotions will always react. Character will endure. If Joseph had been purely acting from his emotions, he would go in a rage. He would be so upset because he had been betrayed. And I have seen men in my time who thought they were betrayed by women. And my friends, I wouldn't want to tell you what I have seen when I was a kid. I wouldn't want to tell you what I've seen. But Joseph was a righteous man. In other words, my friends, he gave heed to what God had said. He gave heed to what the law had written. He knew what was said, my friends, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23, that if anyone who is engaged to be married is found lying with another, they should both be put to death so that evil would not prolong itself in the community. He knew that. And I often think, especially of young people who love the Lord, who really want to follow Him, but somehow it is difficult for them to wait for God's timing, and they get involved in someone who is not a Christian, and then they face a tremendous dilemma. I know what the scripture says, but I also love this man. How can I give up someone that I love? What a dilemma. I love him, but I know what the scripture says. And there are tremendous, tremendous division in the spirit of a person who has a righteous character and get involved in someone who is not a believer as well. It happens. Some of them turn out okay. Others don't. But here was Joseph. What does he do? The text says that he was minded to put her away privately. Here is character in action. He would not disgrace her. He would not make an open show of her. My friends, the question we ask from this text is this. Not why do bad things happen to good men, but how do good men react when bad things happen to them? Not why, but how. And we learn from Joseph that good men respond to difficulties with their character, not with their emotions. Joseph was minded. The word means Joseph thought through all the implications of staying or giving up. He did not react from what he was feeling, for he felt, my friends, if he was a man, and he felt rage. He was going through a tremendous amount of emotional upheaval. But he thought on these things. He was controlled by what he was, not by what he was feeling. I kept thinking of this past week as I was preparing this message. And as I went to Miracle Mart the other day, I stood in front of the checkout counter, and there were the two people facing me, Michael Tyson and Robin Given. Two people who are at odds with each other. And he got in such a rage when he found out certain things about this woman that he almost committed suicide twice. Someone said he took his car. I'm sure it was not an Omni. And he just about drove that car into a wall. He was in such a rage. He was out of control. And my friends, when we're facing emotional difficulties, we cannot afford to be out of control, because we will do things that we will regret after we have acted. We will act in such a way that we will be sorry. Now, one of my favorite television programs, they're not showing that anymore. Please, again, I tell people, don't judge me by what I say. I watch television to get educated. And I used to like watching All in the Family with Archie Bunker. I love Archie. One day, Mike and Gloria had a fight. And Edith was standing and listening. And Edith, in her own unique way, stood up and said, no, I'm not going to say how she said it, but she just said, stop it. Stop it. Let me tell you a story. And you know, Edith always had some story that seemed like it came from way out yonder somewhere, disconnected with the situation at hand. But not so. She looked at them and she said, stop it. Let me tell you about my uncle and aunt and the pancake syrup. And Mike and Gloria said, Mom, what does that have to do with what's going on? Just shut up and listen. She said her aunt did not have the right kind of syrup for the pancakes. And that little thing became a big issue between them. And it grew and it grew and it grew until they said things that hurt them for the rest of their lives because they acted with their emotions. And if you say something, Mike, to Gloria, you might say something that is so hard to heal that you will regret the day you ever said it. And my friends, it is possible. It is possible that some of us have experienced that very thing. Perhaps someone has said something to us that has hurt us deeply, or we have said something to someone that has hurt them deeply because we did not act from our character. We acted from our emotions, from what we were feeling at the time. Joseph had to be in control of himself in order to respond to the situation at hand. And if you and I lose control of ourselves, we too will say things that we will regret later on. Joseph was a just man. And my friends, may I suggest to you that God can only trust just men with difficult situations. He cannot trust weak men. He cannot trust men who do not know God. He cannot trust men who are not obedient to God. He cannot trust men, my friends, who are not sold out to the Lordship of Christ, because difficult things will be faced by such men. But men who have character can deal with them. You know, it's a very interesting thing. You look in the book of Job, and not once in the book of Job is the word love mentioned. Do you know that? Not once. It is implied, but not mentioned. But you know what word, another four-letter word is mentioned in Job? No. K-N-O-W. K-N-O-W. It's talking about knowledge. It is one thing, my friends, to feel something about a thing. It's another thing to react about something. And it is only the people who know their God who can be strong. So Joseph was in a dilemma because of Mary's condition. But he was in a dilemma because of his own character. I love this woman, yet I know what the law says. Secondly, let's go quickly to the dream of Joseph. Two brief thoughts about the dream of Joseph. I want to suggest to you, my friends, that Joseph dreamt not a dream that happened because he was tired, not a dream that came by because he was hallucinating. This was a vision from God. He was still in the Old Testament dispensation. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says that God in old times spake unto the fathers in different ways, in different means, and one of them is by dreams, a vision. But I want you to note, my friends, two things about this dream of Joseph. Number one, Joseph did not plan his dream. It is important that you note that. He didn't say to himself, now, this is what I'm going to do about this situation. No. You see, we have come to a part in Christianity, my friends, today, where we think that we can handle God the way we want him. We can make God into our own image, if you please. That's what Jean-Paul Sartre said. He no longer believes that man is created in the image of God. He believes that God is created in the image of man. He did not plan his dream. It was an act of God. It was totally controlled by God. It was God ordained. The source was from God. It was not some kind of hallucinating experience he had because he was tired, because he was emotionally upset. No, my friends, this dream came because God was in control of the situation. But I want you to note, my friends, it is while he thought on these things that God acted. God will never act on our behalf if we react with a rage. In Psalm 18, verses 18 to 25, David speaks these words. God rewarded me according to the cleanness of my hands. God recompensed me according to the cleanness of my hands. Over and over again, David says, God saw what I was going through, but he also saw what I was. And as a result of that, God was able to act. My friends, if we do not put anything spiritually in us, God will have nothing with which to act. If we do not fill our spiritual reserves, there will be nothing to draw on. Some time ago, I had the great privilege of going to the Premier's breakfast down at the Royal York Hotel. And the speaker that morning was the chairman of the board of Air Canada. And I didn't know the man, and I didn't know what to expect. But as he stood to speak, I soon became aware that he was a believer in Jesus Christ, the chairman of the board of Air Canada. And as Mr. Taylor got up to speak, he said these words: "I am a businessman, and I go into business for a profit. And I know that if you're going to make a profit, you've got to invest something. For if you don't invest, you cannot expect to get any rewards." He said, "Canada was built upon principles that have made us strong and made us great. And those principles are spiritual principles. But we have been drawing from the reserves. We have been drawing, and we have come to the place in our time where we have the blessings of what many in years gone by have invested for us. But lo and behold, we are putting nothing back into that reserve. What will the next generation draw from?" And my friends, I ask the question seriously, especially of our men: what will God have to draw from when our church faces tremendous struggles? When your families face tremendous struggles, what will God have to draw from? As Joseph thought on these things, God acted on his behalf. But I want you to see also the purpose of the dream. Now, I have had dreams before, and some of them were dreams that I would never like to think possible. But I'll never forget, I dreamt as a little boy, I dreamt that I got myself a tricycle. And do you know, until I was a teenager, I was still looking for that tricycle, and it was nowhere to be found. It wasn't true. It was just a dream. But this was not so. This dream had a purpose. An angel of God came and spoke to Joseph and said to him, he gave him the assurance that everything was under God's control. God communicated with Joseph. He spoke to him. He shared with him. He corrected him. He assured him. He provided for him. He preserved him. And Joseph awoke from his sleep because God was taking control of everything that was to take place from there on. I love that. I love that. I sometimes become a little bit humorous with becoming a father at this time. But my friends, more and more I'm beginning to accept the fact that God has a purpose for every action of his children. Not in disobedience, to be sure, but in obedience. That when we find ourselves in situations that we would not necessarily choose for ourselves, when we experience experiences that we would not actually choose for ourselves, we can look by faith into God's face, and we can say like Job, "But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He knows the way. He knows what I'm going through. And God will not let me suffer to the place without giving me some comfort, first of all, from his word. There are two means of God's communication today: the Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word. Jesus said to his disciples again, "If you had known the Scriptures, if you had known the Scriptures, if you had known the Scriptures." Beginning this January, the entire church family will be taking on a project. Have you seen the one-year Bible? We're going to challenge the entire congregation to become involved in reading through the entire Scriptures in 1 year. You'll be hearing more about it. Why? Because, my friends, the Scriptures are the means by which God can speak to us. The scriptures are the means by which God can communicate with us. Do you remember the two on the road to Emmaus? The two disciples in Luke 24, they were discouraged, they were despondent, they were defeated. And Jesus met with them and he opened to them the scriptures and encouraged them. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us in the way? The scriptures. That's how God speaks to us. Well, let me quickly go to my last point. The decision of Joseph. Joseph awoke from his sleep and he did as the angel commanded him. And he did. Three brief thoughts about this. Number one, my friends, his decision was based upon his submission to God. His decision was based upon his submission to God. Joseph awoke from his sleep and he did according to the commandment of the Lord. He didn't evaluate his vision. He didn't try to second guess God. He didn't put a colon where God puts a period. He didn't try to argue the pros and the cons about the commandment of God. I like what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. Bonhoeffer was a prisoner of war during the Second World War. And he's written a book called Discipleship. And Bonhoeffer says this: he who argues with the commandments of God will not find it necessary to obey them. He who argues with the commandments of God will not find it necessary to obey them. I don't think this is what this means. My friends, there is a certain denomination that's toying with the scriptures right now that says premarital sex and homosexuality are acceptable. Listen to what they've said. Paul made a mistake when he didn't mean that. Can you imagine that? We have gotten so educated today that we can second guess the inspiration of Scripture. Say, Paul didn't mean that, or he made a mistake. Submission to God. It is one thing, my friends, to wave the Bible as that which we believe in. It's another thing to submit to its authority over our lives. It's another thing altogether. That's why we don't have what we need to see in our day. So his decision was based upon his submission to the will of God. Secondly, his decision was based upon his security in the will of God. His security in the will of God. Listen to what he did. And so he took her as his wife. Imagine what would go around. Mary is pregnant and they have not yet reached the second stage of their relationship. Think of the gossips. Think of what was going through. In fact, later years in the life of Christ, people said, we are not born of fornication. Think of the stigma. Think, my friends, of the difficulties, the emotional pressures that they went under, but they were secure in the will of God. One of my teachers in college used to say to us, student, let me tell you something. What does the world say? The world says, well, let them say. If I know what God has for my life, the world can say whatever it wants to say. I am secure in that well. My friends, that is why Joseph could go to prison. Not this one, but Joseph in the Old Testament. That is why Daniel could go in the lion's den. That is why the three children could go in the fiery furnace. They were secure in the will of God. And so will you and I. So will you and I. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and are safe. Safe. All the pressures of life that come, we can say with the hymn writer, peace, perfect peace in this vile world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Secure in the will of God. Thirdly, the stewardship of the will of God. A steward is one to whom something is given. In verse 21, the angel said to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus. In verse 25, after Christ was born, he called his name Jesus. He was a steward. He was a steward of divine things. God, the name Jesus originates in heaven, and Joseph on earth received it from God. And when that first Christmas morning, as it were, came, he called his name Jesus. What does that name mean? That name is healing. That name is cleansing. That name is comfort. My friends, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to whom? To who? Jesus. The name from God to Joseph is the name that rescues men this very hour as you and I sit here. I want to present to you, my friends, a forgotten father, forgotten by man, forgotten by the church, but used by God as one who would take care of the Son of God, would have the privilege of naming him, a privilege that belongs only to the rightful father. I will give his name Jesus. And Joseph called his name Jesus. That name was a name of authority. That name was a name of comfort. That name was a name, my friends, of which you and I sing this very morning as we heard it played for us on the cello. Joy to the world, the Lord.